across the planet and around the world, you're listening to Radio Free Radio on the LIS News Netcast Network.
This is the 8th episode of Tech for Techies, for release on April 10th. I'm your presenter, Mike Kellett. We're going to look at how much a practical rig will cost. Today we're going to spoon feed you with the cost of the rig that's being used to record today's show. We have been using this setup for a couple of weeks now, and it seems to work quite well. We are covering the audio hardware pieces, not the two computers involved. There has been some grumbling that what I have been talking about on my show would cost a person an arm and a leg to set up. Well, if you're creative and willing to look, you can keep costs down. Search the net at some of the online music stores, Musician's Friend, Sam Ash, Musician's Advocate, among others. Get a feel for what the prices of specific units are to fit your needs will cost. Yes, doing a bit of research again. But you need to have an idea of what the unit prices are. You have two ways to go in buying, new or used. While I would recommend getting things new, there are advantages to buying used units. With new units, you're mostly assured that it's going to work out of the box, and that it has a warranty. I have received an item that was dead on arrival and had to be sent in for warranty work immediately upon receipt. Yes, it can happen. Do register your new product when you get it home. By registering, not only is the warranty activated, but you'll be notified by the company of any potential recalls or modifications for the product. Strange things can happen in the most seemingly mundane of products, as Radio Shack saw with their recent mandatory recall of external power supplies. You can look for units that have gone out of production and are replaced by newer units. Legacy units can be heavily discounted to get them off the shelf while still retaining their warranties. You'll not have the current bells and whistles that the newer units have, but you'll be getting a very usable unit at a reduced cost. In buying used, you have many routes to go. One, ads in newspapers. Units that were taken in as trade-ins at music stores. eBay, Craigslist, Freecycle, and others. You can find units at a fraction of their new cost, but beware. There are people out there who will try to sell it to you for more than new price. This can happen on eBay and Craigslist. Remember that net research on units you are interested in? It will keep you from paying too much for used units. Then again, you could be lucky enough to find someone who just wants to get rid of it, and you'll be able to get it for free. It does happen. In inquiring used units, look for broken, missing pieces, dents, rattling, etc. that indicates mishandling. An abused piece of equipment can cost more than a new one to refurbish. Well, I guess we will be talking about one of the computers that we use. Besides the normal audio equipment, we have a second computer used as an audio unit, which is something to look into. An audio computer does not have to be the latest and greatest computer available. Audio is not processor and memory intensive as doing video. At present, we are using a 770 MHz Pentium 3 Dell Optiplex and a rack mount case for a recording unit. See the picture of Tech for Techies number 6 blog post. It's there. It runs Windows 2000 Pro with a Turtle Beach Riviera sound card that came with Audio Surgeon LT, $35 at Fry's Electronics. I have both Audio Surgeon and Audacity loaded on the computer for recording my audio. In recording, I prefer using the Audio Surgeon. Having a second computer for audio means that it can be tailored for audio use. The AOS, recording, burning programs, only what is needed to work on audio. Having a dedicated unit means it does not need to be online. It will be virus-free. Much like Commander Adama's Battlestar and Battlestar Galactica miniseries, the audio computer is not networked, so Cylons cannot get in. For an audio mixer, we now have two. The big mixer is an 8-channel by 4-sub by 2-main channel Tascan M208. When it was new in the late 1970s, it was just under $2,000. I purchased it used for $60. We have been using it for our podcasts up to Tech for Techies number 5 and Listen number 65. We are now using a Behringer Eurorack MX602. I acquired it from a videographer friend of mine who no longer had a use for it. Except for the preamps, it is identical to the Behringer Eurorack UB802 and the Zinex 802 mixers, $49.99 and $59.99 respectively. This is a minimal sized mixer having two microphone channels, two stereo line channels, and a stereo line level main out. The Behringer mixer has a lot smaller footprint than the Tascam board in that it utilizes a wall wart power supply and the Tascam's is internal to the unit. The Behringer almost looks like a toy in comparison to the Tascam, but they both do the job. The Tascam has better EQ than the Behringer, but the Behringer's is usable. The Behringer has phantom power for condensers that the Tascam does not have. The advantage for us using the Behringer board at the moment is it has just the right amount of features for what we are doing, whereas the Tascam board was overkill for the application. We have a good selection of microphones to choose from. Besides the podcast, we record music and other forms of spoken word. With our selection of microphones, we settled on the Marshall MXL990. Granted, there is no one mic that's for all situations and voices, but the 990 comes close. I never had a voice come out bad from it, but I do have some issues with some instruments through it, though. It is a unidirectional condenser microphone. They usually go for $69 new online, but every now and then they show up as low as $49 on sale. It is a mid-sized diaphragm condenser mic. You want to use a mid to large diameter diaphragm mic. Small diaphragm mics are for miking instruments instead of the voice. Cables and adapters. Here in the States, Radio Shack can be your friend. They have all kinds of cables and adapters. They are not the only source of the items, but they're one of the few to have most of them in one place. The ones we used for our purposes are the RCA female to quarter inch TS tip sleeve male adapter for each of those. 1/8 inch tip ring sleeve female to 1/8 inch tip ring sleeve female adapter, 1. 1/8 inch tip ring sleeve male to RCA's 3-foot cable, 2 each. A JVC HA RX300 full size headphones. Going to music stores, you look at things like Megami Silver Series microphone cable. It's not the cheapest, but it's a good quality cable that will not fail you. Musician's Gear Pop Filter. A 6-inch adjustable pop filter with a gooseneck and a clamp so you can position it in front of your microphone. Musician's Gear Microphone Boom Stand. So you can place your microphone where it's easy to get to. We'll have all these listed in the blog post associated with the podcast and have part numbers and prices so you will know. And for the setup, put the RCA to quarter inch adapters on the ends of the 3-foot RCA to 1/8 inch cables. Plug one set into the main out of the mixer and the 1/8 inch end into the line in jack on your sound card. Mic in will not work. It must be a line in. The line in and mic in operate on different voltages and impedance levels and are incompatible with each other. Plug the other set into one of the two line channels, number 3-4 or 5-6 inputs. The other end can connect to an optional computer, PDA, digital voice recorder, or another line source of input. The microphone cable should be plugged into channel 1 or 2 mono input and the microphone. For the condenser microphone to work, after the connections are to the mixer and mic are made, then turn on the phantom power, the +48V push-button switch. The phantom power should not be on while making these connections. It can damage your units. Plug your headphones into the phone jack, and you should be ready to go. If you need our equivalent of the New Yankee Workshop to do personal demonstration, inquire via email as to the costs. Not counting the cost of the audio computer and the MacBook computer that we use, this rig will cost $271.31 American. This is well in the realm of just about anyone who wants to get involved in podcasting and have a decent sound in the process. If you are on a tight budget, buy it a piece at a time and spread the cost out. Thank you for listening. We will be taking next week off. We will return with episode number 9 on April 24th. Tech for Techies is produced by Eerie Looking Productions for the LIS News Netcast Network.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
By a unanimous vote, that is to say, a 4-0 vote of network producers, the LIS News Netcast Network is undertaking a stand-down period. The stand-down begins at 0430 UTC on April 10th and lasts until 0330 UTC on April 20th. During this 10-day stand-down, network producers will be hard at work catching up and writing features for release. Network programming will resume with Listen on April 20th, being released on or near 0400 UTC. For those concerned librarians out there, please do not worry. This wasn't something I dictated. This stand-down was initiated on the request of a producer that was put to a vote. Just because a network has an interim coordinator does not mean it has a despot ruling it. I'm Stephen Michael Kellett, interim coordinator of the network. Thank you for listening.